AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Welcome back to Life Sculptors. You know who it is. Dante Poole, your host. So good to be with you again. And what a great season this has been. In our last episode, we talked about what it means to be made for more and our role in community. And I really want to continue this conversation about what it means to be together, right? What it means to belong and to be a part of something. Because we all have a need to belong. And but not everyone wants us to be a part of their lives. I was reminded of a song. It's an old song, right? An old school rap song released in 1984. Yes, I'm telling my age. In 1984, it's called Friends by the hip-hop group Houdini. See, my friends, my Jersey friends, y'all know what I'm talking about, right? That year, they also released The Freaks Come Out at Night, but that's a different conversation. But here are some of the lyrics to the chorus, right? It's friends. How many of us have them? Friends. The ones we can depend on. Let's be friends, right? So there's a saying that good friends are hard to find. And I think it's true, but not because there's a shortage of people who are willing to be friends. Okay. So I want to read this book about friendship. It's about the friendship of a bear and a squirrel. Like they're best friends. And bear vows to stick with squirrel no matter what. But that gets put to the test, because when Squirrel experiences the challenges of being friends with Bear, it causes some issues. And so here we are. I'm Sticking With You by Smriti Prasadam Halls and illustrated by Steve Small. I'll try that again, right? The author is Smriti, S-M-R-I-T-I, and her last name is hyphenated P-R-A-S-A-D-A-M hyphen Halls, Prasadam Halls. Man, it's a good read, y'all, but I always say that, don't I? Because I'm just telling y'all there's good stuff out here in this world. It's good stuff. Let's get to it. I'm Sticking With You. Wherever you're going, I'm going too. Whatever you're doing, I'm sticking with you. This is the bear talking, y'all. Whether you're grumpy or silly or mad, through good times, rather, and bad times, happy or sad. I'm going to get better, y'all. Whatever you're thinking, I'm all ears. I'm ready to listen to all your ideas. Ready to be there to help you along, even if it seems to go a bit wrong. Whatever you're doing, that is the plan. You may think I can't, but I bet you I can. Because I will try things I never would do. Never, that is, until you showed me to. Like peas in a pod, you and I fit. Like strawberries and cream, we're a hit. Whatever the game, I'm on your side. No mountain too tall, no river too wide. We sit by the clifftop, we sit by the lake, we sit by the ice cap. I eat all the cake. We, and then Squirrel interrupts him. Actually, Bear, I think I need to be on my own, if you don't mind. It's getting a bit crowded in here. There's barely any room. Really, says the bear. Are you sure? Oh, okay then. And bear walks away. Ah, says the squirrel, that feels better. Each thing in its place, all neat and tidy. There's so much more space. I can do what I fancy, whatever I wish. Ah, nothing's a squash and nothing's a squish. It's such a nice change to do things alone, whatever I want to, all on my own. I got all I need. I don't have to share. Everything's perfect, except... I miss Bear. Actually, hey, Bear. There's an echo in the book. Come back. Who am I kidding? Where would I even be without you? Who else would listen? What would I do? Who helps me be the best I can be? Who shares their last chocolate with me? Me without you? It just doesn't work. Me without you? I just go berserk. So like it or lump it, you're stuck with me. For better or worse, that's the way it should be. Whether we lose or whether we win, we'll be together through thick and through thin. We'll pick up the pieces, says Bear. We'll patch up the hole, says Squirrel. We'll mend the things that need fixing, because that's how we roll. When we're unstuck, we won't fall apart. How could we ever? We're joined at the heart. We'll fit back together like bugs in a rug, like jam in a donut, like arms in a hug. So, wherever you're going, I'm going too. Whatever you're doing, I'm sticking like glue. And whatever you like it, and whether you like it or love it or not, we're a team. And I love you a lot. Oh my gosh. I know. I sometimes stumble through the book because I'm enjoying it so much, but I'm sticking with you. You know, like, have you ever been in a lopsided relationship? You know, the one where one person seems more committed to than the other, where there's one person who's making the efforts to make the connection, or maybe it feels like you're doing all the work to keep the relationship going. Or sometimes we've been in a relationship with someone with great intentions, but they are hard to bear. And it's not because their personality is difficult or anything like that, but it's because our intentions don't match theirs. In the book, see, Squirrel does not verbalize his intentions until he experiences the loss in the relationship. Ooh, his nonverbal cues throughout the book, though, like if you could see the pictures, oh man, they are apparent that he is getting irritated by the presence of Bear. But Bear ignores them because Bear is committed to sticking with Squirrel. Whether he's grumpy or silly or mad or whatever, y'all, we all need friends who are willing to go the journey with us no matter what. See, we always feel like we're doing people a favor by giving them our friendship. It was so easy to find the things that are wrong with other people. As a matter of fact, we live in a world that has conditioned us to believe that everything is disposable or can be replaced by something better. So much so that we often see people as disposable or optional. We don't stick and stay. Oh, my goodness. So we're easily irritated by their idiosyncrasies because we have become so self-centered that we function like everyone else should be what we want them to be, more like us. You know, in other episodes, we've talked about why do we make other people the measure of what is good and what is right and what is the model or what everything should be? But sometimes it's on the other side of that coin. Sometimes we make ourselves the measure of what others should be. You do know you're not always right. But yeah. See, I appreciate the contrast of the characters in this book. Bear, he's like big and slow and clumsy, and Squirrel is small and agile and quick. Bear is long-suffering. He's patient. Quick, that old quick squirrel, he is impatient. And see, their difference only becomes a challenge when Squirrel refuses to make room for Bear in the activities. See, just because someone doesn't do things the way you want them to, it doesn't make them a bad friend. Like, if what they're doing isn't dangerous or harmful, then it's probably a you problem. Sometimes we are frail and finicky. See, because this isn't about activities. This issue with Squirrel and Bear, it isn't about the things that they're doing together. No. This is Squirrel's irritation. And it's more a revelation of his heart than it is the things that they're doing together. He makes it about space. He says he wants more space, right? And when he informs Bear that he needs space, because we've heard that before, right? I just need space. You know what Bear does? Bear honors his request, and he gives him exactly what he's asked for. Man, I've learned to do that with people. I give them what they ask for. If I'm calling you and you don't call back, if I text you, if I message you, if I reach out to you, if I'm making efforts to connect with you and you are not reciprocating, you are not, then I'm going to give you the space. And my wife and I were talking recently because it's something that we both have just concluded about how we're going to show up in relationships, right? So I was telling her that recently about someone, and she asked if I had spoken to him yet, and I was like, no, I haven't, because they haven't been responsive to the communications. I said, but even though they made the initial reach and said, hey, can we talk? I just decided it's okay. And my efforts to meet the request have been met without reciprocation. And they clearly have not created space for me yet. So I'll just wait. This is an issue of maturity, y'all. I will not hold it against them for not connecting. Nor will I remind them whenever I get to connect with them that they mistreated our relationship. Because I refuse to make their struggle the definition of our relationship. See, if I've done something to offend them and they have not communicated it to me, then I'll continue to treat them the way I've always treated them until something different is learned, until I learn something different, until I know something different. If someone has offended you and you haven't told them, though, you're robbing them of the opportunity to get it right with you. And that makes you complicit in the struggle and not a victim. Can I say that again? Because I don't think you were listening. Hey, if someone has offended you and you haven't told them, you're robbing them of the opportunity to make it right with you. And that makes you complicit in the struggle and not a victim. See, we can't be so easily offended by each other's humanity. Like, we all struggle to sort through a variety of thoughts and feelings that come with living in community. I mean, we all do. And it makes me wonder, like, are you finicky? See, it means hard to please because of your particularness. when we're being finicky, it actually comes from a word, finical, which is a derivative of fine. And not like I'm doing fine, but like fine wine. Like, we have high expectations. Pinkies up, y'all. Pinkies up, right? High expectations. And what's interesting is when we're being finicky, our expectations are so high that we can't even meet them ourselves. And if you're finicky, oh, you make it hard to be in relationship with you. So how then do we stay resilient in our relationships with each other? I'm going to offer a couple things here, maybe three. First, we have to shift our expectations that everything is just about me. Everything is not just about me. I have to shift what I expect. Like, and this is going to take some work, right? Because and our attempt to develop self-care in our lives, we have swung that pendulum way to the other side and way too far, and we have made ourselves the center of the universe. It is not the responsibility of the world to make you happy. Nope. In other words, stop making everyone else responsible for your happiness or for your peace or for your joy, but for your life. That responsibility is yours. Here's the second thing. We have to shift our expectations for others to be more perfect than we are capable of. Yeah, we got to stop expecting people to do stuff that we don't even do or we're not even capable of. Like there's not one single person in the world who's capable of being all that you dream. So stop expecting from others what you are unwilling or even unable to give. We often want more grace than we're willing to extend to others. What do I mean by that? Like, if we make a mistake, we want understanding and forgiveness. How about we more readily offer that to others? Yeah, that grace that you want, like, offer that grace to others. Yeah. All right, here's the third one. Build relational capacity by committing to working on the relationship. And here's what I mean by that. I didn't say commit to trying to get the other person to change and be better. And that's not what I mean. Like, every relationship, it requires attention and maintenance and development. Even our friendships, especially our friendships. And I want you to stop taking the other person for granted. here's how we take them for granted. Like, our unwillingness not to become better versions of ourselves is an expression of our underappreciation for the people in our friendships and the people in our relationships. I want to be better, not just for me, but I want to be better for you. Like, just like we change the oil in our cars or rotate the tires or we clean out the refrigerator. My wife just did that recently. Just was like, she's like, I've had enough with all this stuff in here, because, you know, the refrigerator, it just starts collecting things, right? She's like, I have enough. And she's like, I'm cleaning this out. And she cleaned the refrigerator. It's beautiful. I was like, wow. Right? Anyway, I digress, right? But just like we need to clean our refrigerator or clean our homes, our hearts and minds need regular attention too, in order to keep them functioning optimally. So read something, like attend a webinar, go see a therapist or a life coach, make some kind of spiritual investment, listen to a podcast, and then do something with what you've learned and discovered. See, it's not enough to read it and to listen to it. And some of y'all, you know, you're like me, like you take notes when you hear stuff. Like, you got a whole journal or a notebook full of notes, or maybe it's on, well, pieces of paper all over the place, but whatever. Don't judge. Just know that, you know, I like keeping track of things. I have my own unique way of organizing them. Right? But sometimes, if all you do is attend or listen, and you don't do something with what you've gained, then you just wasted your time. So I want to encourage you, don't just be a consumer. Become an investor. Oh, what you talk about, pool. I'm saying that become the kind of person that obtains resources for the benefit of yourself and for the benefit of others. See, this is not an either or. This is a both and. This is a mental and emotional posture that I'm going to get better, not just for me. I'm going to get better for you. I'm going to make an investment. I'm just not going to be somebody who consumes everything. I'm not going to be a black hole. Probably the most favorite part of the book reads like this. It says, and when we're unstuck, we won't fall apart. How could we ever? We're joined at the heart. We'll fit back together like bugs in a rug, like jam in a donut, like arms in a hug. Y'all, this is great imagery for our hopes, for our relationships with each other. It says that sometimes in our relationships, we're going to get unstuck, right? We're going to be less sticky to each other because we're human beings and, you know, we got stuff. And so when our stuff shows up, says when we're unstuck, we're not going to fall apart. We're going to find a way to regroup because we're joined at the heart. I love that line. Oh, we fit back together. We'll fit back together. We'll find a way to fit back together. Oh, like bugs in a rug, like jam in a donut, like arms in a hug. I'm grateful I have some people in my life who fit together with me like arms in a hug. So it's important for us to understand that when we really invest in our friendships always find a way. Like, they always find a way. And we got to work to make this a reality and not just a wish. Oh, what I'm saying. During my reflections earlier today, I'm reading a book by a female rabbi. Her name is Sandy Eisenberg Sasso, S-A-S-S-O, Sasso, maybe is that's how you say it. But she says these words. She says, one, she says, we easily forget appointments, but we remember grudges for years. We misplace things. We misplace them, but we never replace or misplace resentment. Here's the other thing she says. There's a difference between wishing and hoping. That wishing leaves the work up to someone else. It's passive. It asks nothing of us. Hoping demands that we make a commitment to work toward whatever it is we hope for. So if you're holding someone hostage with your unforgiveness for a mistake or a decision that they've made, it may be time for you to offer forgiveness. The truth is, the only person being held hostage by your unforgiveness is you. And when people in our community become unbearable, let's give them space. Let's give them grace. More importantly, let's give them some love. Remembering that love is not just an emotion, but love is a decision. It's a decision to be kind and to be patient, and it's a decision to keep, to not keep, should I say, a mental and emotional list of all the things someone has done wrong. It's not love. Love is not being finicky. So might I encourage you to take a moment, reach out to your friends, and just tell them something you appreciate about them. Maybe you just say, thank you for making space for me. Thank you for making space for me to just be me. I'm sticking with you. I hope you continue to stick with me as we have these conversations. This is the Life Sculptors Podcast. Would you like it? Would you share it? Would you comment? Would you subscribe to the podcast? Know that you can watch it on YouTube or listen to it on any platform that has a podcast. It's on all the platforms. This is a great conversation. And you? You're enough. I'll see you next time.